This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Junkies, flunkies, misfits, and their siblings, which include all of you as well. Welcome to this special, it's kind of a combo episode. I decided to mush them together. I was going to do two separate episodes, but I figured, probably easier to just do one. So welcome to this special Tuesday morning edition, I guess, of the weekend special, but it is still a reaction episode as well. That's what most of this show will be about, as this past Saturday, I think the statute of limitations on spoilers probably has passed. It's been 72 hours of TNA Rebellion, which took place Saturday night in Vegas. We had a couple of big surprises pop up. Of course, on Sunday was AEW Dynasty. We had some title changes. We have a new AEW World Champion in Swerve Strickland, which you probably already know about. That's not really a spoiler per se. I'm sure that kind of got out. And of course, a match that everyone says is the greatest match in the universe, and that was Will Ospreay and Bryan Danielson, which everyone says Dave Meltzer is going to give 7.25 stars to break the Okada Omega record from whatever the fuck that was, 2017. Anyway, we are talking TNA Rebellion. This is the reaction special. Let me bring in the doctor, Dr. G, George Bellino. You have your own rebellion. You rebel. Because where was it where somebody misspelled your name at a job and your name was George Rebellion? What was that? Remember one job I think your name was spelled wrong and they called
it
you
It was,
George.
I don't remember.
It was pretty funny. You were the rebellion. You're the last person I think would start a rebellion. But anyway. in any event. Doctor, quick check of last week's episode of NWA Power, because if you're listening to this on Tuesday morning, new episode tonight that will drop on the CW, part three of the Hard Times series. We'll talk about that card in a minute, but last week, quick recap, there were two title matches. Actually, the United States Tag Team Title Tournament has are they vacated? Now I'm confused. I thought the Immortals were the. Oh, I see what they did. Okay. So the Immortals cashed in. I knew I saw that right. So the Immortals. See, this happened to the NWA way too much. The Immortals cashed in the U.S. tag team titles so they can have a world tag title shot at Blunt Force Trauma that happened later on in the evening. Okay. Now, there's a tournament for the U.S. tag titles, and it was a first round match last week. And it was the Fixers, the former U.S. Tag Team Champions, Jay Bradley and Wrecking Ball Ligursky, defeating Jack and Tim Storm in 6:57. Then Taylor Rising beat Miss Starr. Of course, that's Samantha Starr, Baby Doll's daughter. I was not crazy about that. I think Miss Starr has more long-term juice than Taylor Rising does. But in any event. And then in the main event, Blunt Force Trauma indeed retained the NWA World Tag Team titles when they beat the Immortals, Kratos and Odinson, even though they laid out Aaron Stevens at the end of the show. He was pretty much out cold. So that's your quick look at last week's NWA now, tonight on the CW, Dr. G. Three more matches, and then probably some interviews. Of course, this was in Dothan, at the Civic Center, which is where they'll be doing a pay-per-view again, or a special again, in December. Must have thought the crowd was good. I'll be honest with you, Doctor, the energy in the building is pretty hot. I'm not going to lie. So, might be a cool place to you know, go back to. And they are. They're going.
I think definitely down south is where they seem to be the hottest, in my opinion.
Well, we'll be curious to see when you and I are there at the end of August for NWA 76. I think there'll be a good crowd that day because it's a big. It's good that they put a show that big outside the southern area, because I think that may add a little juice and maybe it'll help. You know, maybe it'll help Billy Gage being up here in the north more. Of course, coming up later this month, or later next month, I guess, in May, the Crockett Cup will be down in Dorney, Texas, and then NWA 76 at the end of August in Philly. Anyway, tonight's episode of Power that will be on the CW, and Dr. G and I will recap it for you this coming Sunday morning on a new episode of the weekend special. The next first-round match in the U.S. Tag Title Tournament, Daisy Kill and Talos, the former U.S. Tag Team Champions, taking on the team of Alex Misery and Mecha Wolf. So I wonder what happened to Bestia 666, because Mecha Wolf seems to be kind of on his own now, Doctor. They must have split up. Maybe Bestia went back to Mexico. Interesting. There's a six-man tag tonight, there'll be a six-man tag tonight. The Miserably Faithful, Gags the Gimp, Matt Rotella's favorite wrestler, Judas and Max the Impaler, because I guess Sal Renaro's not in the Miserably Faithful anymore, taking on the team of Carson, Drake, and Magnum Muscle. So that's tonight as well. Dak Draper and Mims. And then the NWA World Women's title will be on the line. And maybe this is finally the shot, Doctor, that Natalia Markova cashes in on as she takes on the World Women's Champion, Kenzie Page. Of course, Markova lost two very good matches to Camille last year, once at Crockett Cup, I think it was, and the other was at NWA 75. Of course, the next day, Camille lost the title and ended her epic run to Kenzie Page. Now, Camille's kind of floating in limbo. Surprised she hasn't, something must be going on. Maybe she's, did I hear she's pregnant? I'm not sure. But she is a free agent. I mean, she is officially not with.
Maybe she thinks more highly of her skills than what the companies feel. I don't know. I mean,
well, I don't know. I think AEW is kind of in a state of flux with the women's division right now, you know, because they just got Deonna Purrazzo, and of course they got Mercedes Moné. So maybe they're kind of closing that door. WWE is in a weird spot because they just got a similar Camille type wrestler that also probably has much more cachet, and that is of course Jade Cargill. So I don't know. I thought TNA would take her like immediately. Maybe she's waiting out for the big two. If I were her, I would just go to TNA because they definitely need her. They definitely. I liked it. A Camille Jordan Grace feud would be pretty great. So she's probably better off. I think
Camille needs to just kind of season herself a little bit in a bigger company.
Right.
I think like a TNA or an NXT would be a good place for her to start, to be honest.
I concur. So we'll see if that shakes out. So in any event, that is your card tonight on the newest episode of NWA Power, when Dr. G and I will recap it for you this coming Sunday morning on the weekend special. All right, now for the main reason for this week's, for this reaction special, and that was the pay-per-view of TNA Rebellion, the second pay-per-view of the year for TNA. Of course, the first one was Hard to Kill back in January, and then this one, and then the next couple of months will be TNA Plus shows. And then the next pay-per-view will be in July, which will be Slammiversary. But Rebellion took place in where is Slammiversary, as a matter of fact? Is it back in Nashville? Do we have a definite for that?
Canada, right?
It is. It'll be on July 20th at the Verdun Auditorium in Montreal.
Yeah, I think if it seats like 4,400.
Yeah, so before that, though, There will be Under Siege, which will be on May 3rd in Albany, New York. And then Against All Odds, which is in June, and I think that's in Chicago. Or, yeah, Chicago, or Cicero, wherever the hell it is. Suburb of Chicago, or whatever it is. Anyway, and then Slammiversary, I thought it was going to be in Nashville, because I feel like they always do it in Nashville. Anyway, that will be coming up July 20th. And then two more TNA Plus shows, and then in October is kind of like their WrestleMania, which is Against All Odds, which is Bound for Glory, and that'll be in October. Now, let us go to Rebellion. There were 11 matches on Saturday night, 3 on the pre-show and 8 proper. On the pre-show, ABC and Leon Slater defeated the Rascals. Laredo Kid is your new TNA Digital Media Champion. He upset Crazy Steve. I didn't see that coming, actually. I enjoyed
Crazy Steve. No, I didn't either.
Digital Media Champion. But Laredo Kid is your new Digital Media Champion. And Spitfire, Danny Luna and Jody Threat successfully defended the Knockouts tag team titles, defeating DK. Now, for the proper card, we'll go through the results, and then Dr. G and I will give our thoughts. No shock here. Mustafa Ali defeated Jake Something to retain the X Division title. I did not believe he should have lost. He's been pretty hot as a heel right now in the company. And I mean, they got him. I mean, he won the X Division title almost immediately joining the company. So they one good thing for TNA, they struck while the iron was hot. Rich Swann defeated Joe Hendry by pinfall. We were going back and forth on that on Main Event. I thought Joe Hendry would win, but you got Rich Swann, the new heel with AJ Francis, got to keep him strong. So, everybody disagreed with me on this, and I was wrong. Frankie K defeated Eric Young by pinfall in the Full Metal Mayhem match, which makes me think that I think Frankie Kazarian is due for a TNA world title run later on in the year, I think. But the big news in that match was we almost had a Mick Foley Vader moment in this match, Doctor. Eric Young and Frankie Kazarian were on the top rope. Frankie Kazarian hit his finisher, or one of his big finisher moves, through a table. And the table partially ripped a piece of Eric Young's ear off.
Ooh.
Apparently not as drastic as, you know, pretty much Vader, Mick Foley's ear getting completely torn off in Berlin, Germany, in whenever that was, 1994, 1993. I think it was 1994. But it did happen, and there was blood all over the place. But he kept wrestling. They wrestled apparently for another couple minutes. Yeah, it was a couple extra minutes. The match went 15-20, and Frankie Kazarian won. So I was surprised at that. What are your thoughts on that, Doctor? Do you think, you know, because usually I thought Eric Young, you know, the babyface would end the feud. But this is a feud. You got two original guys, two older guys. Eric Young is a former TNA world champion, so it's not like he's, you know, needs any kind of, but I do think that, I do think that Frankie K is in line for a possible TNA world title shot at some point down the line, maybe later this year. We'll see.
Yeah. It just depends on, you know, obviously we'll get to the end of the show, see how they go with that in that route.
Right.
You know, but I could see him. I could see him having a run, or at least a run at the title anyway, a chance at winning the title.
Right. So there we go. So big win for Frankie Kazarian. He beats his rival Eric Young in the Full Metal Mayhem match and then almost took his ear off, which apparently the piece of the ear was retrieved and reattached. So we're good there. Mike Santana, former Santana from AEW, defeated Steve Macklin by pinfall. There was a call out, and Mike Santana came back. That kind of surprised me because I thought Steve Macklin was going to continue his feud with Nick Nemeth. We'll get to Nick Nemeth in a moment. The System retained their TNA World Tag, not Knockouts Tag Team, World Tag Team titles. They defeated Speedball Mountain, Mike Bailey, and Trent Seven in 1250. No surprise there. You want to keep the big heel faction strong. In a last man standing match, it was the match of the night, in my opinion. I thought it was awesome. I highly recommend watching it if you can. In 1950, if you didn't buy the pay-per-view, it will hit TNA Plus at some point in the next month, probably. Josh Alexander did defeat Hammerstone in the last man standing match. I was mildly surprised at that. I thought maybe Hammerstone would win, but again, I feel like a ton of heels have won tonight. So big win for Josh Alexander to get him back on path to possibly regaining the TNA world title. Jordan Grace defeated Steph DeLander with the good hands, Jason Hotch and John Skyler, because Matt Cardona is out right now. He's having surgery. So he's out of commission all over all of his indie bookings, I guess, for the time being. So Jordan Grace, I thought Steph DeLander would win this in an upset, but not quite. So Jordan Grace retains the TNA Knockouts title. And finally, Moose does retain the TNA world title. He defeated Nick Nemeth in a pretty good match, went 17-10. But then the lights out happened, and who came back? Who has returned to TNA for the moment? Broken Matt Hardy. Delete!
Nah.
Matt Hardy came back. He says he's still a free agent, but he did return, and he held up the TNA world title belt. That is, of course, a belt he has never held, so he might possibly be Moose's next opponent. Moose has been pretty successful in his defenses on shows this year. He won the title, which is vacant, earlier in the year. He defeated Eric Young. He defeated Alex Shelley. And now here he defeated Nick Nemeth. So Moose has been on a pretty good run in 2024 as TNA World Champion. But, of course, the big surprise, Matt Hardy came back in the main event. Now, Jeff, because everyone puts them together, Jeff is pretty much still in AEW, although he has said that his contract with AEW is up sometime in the spring, which, of course, we're in the spring. Others have said that his contract's been extended for another year because of he's been out for a pretty decent amount of time with an injury. So I'd be curious to see what happens there. What are your thoughts on Matt Hardy returning to TNA? Is this good for him and good for them?
Yeah, I mean, again, he's in phenomenal shape. I want to say he's 52, 53 now. It's amazing, right? Like, when we were watching wrestling in the 80s, the guys, you know, like when Harley Race was, 50, we were like, oh my gosh, it's time to hang it up. And now
I know, it's 100 years old. Yeah, I know.
Obviously, people take care of their bodies differently today. I think people look for the big name. I think his character in TNA was great. I think that's where that character really, the broken Matt Hardy kind of really was at its best.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's time for him to kind of put people over.
Yeah.
At this point in his career. It could give you some legitimacy to have him win the championship and then drop it to someone like a Frankie Kazarian or,
Right. And then Frankie K. I do think eventually.
Josh Alexander or something like
that. Yeah, I'm thinking Josh. I really do think, and I know there was a whole big strange controversy of him, re-upping with the company. But I really do think that Josh Alexander is going to be the face of TNA again. So I do think eventually he will win back the world title.
What do you think about Nick Nemeth not winning?
I mean, I'm okay with it. He's only been with the. I think. I mean, he has said that. He has said that he didn't want to just walk in and win the world title. So, you know, something tells me that at some point this year, TNA is going to kind of convert the digital media title, because that's a fucking stupid name for a belt, to something similar to an intercontinental title. Because the X Division title, even though it's been one of the longest running titles, it's like, you know, obviously it's one of the longest running titles in the company. It was created in the beginning. I do think that they're going to create a secondary belt, like a legit secondary title, something like an intercontinental title, U.S. title, like the 13 secondary belts in AEW, something
AEW is getting like the NWA in the 80s, you know.
I mean, there's like they have like five fucking singles belts.
It's a little much now.
It is.
I feel. You know, I know I used to kind of give you a hard time first when they first started, and it was good because I think the wrestling world, I think definitely Tony Khan indirectly helped WWE even step it up a notch in recent years because they had competition. Mm-hmm. But again, you're just taking it too far now, and I understand, like, you know, you want to have all these championships and things like that, but you don't have a lot of TV time. And you have all these guys, and this is the problem why you're seeing a lot of, either you're seeing some releases now, and you're also seeing people leave, because, you know what, the money's great, and I heard that Tony Khan treats his wrestlers very good. I mean, you know, the whole thing with medical and all the perks that they have, maybe some of the things that WWE wrestlers don't have, but after a while, you're in it to perform, and you want to be, you know, you want to be out there. I mean, you know, some people don't mind collecting a paycheck and then that's it. But a lot of people just don't want to collect a paycheck and not do anything. They want to hone their craft. And this is why you're seeing some injuries, because they're not getting the in-ring work time that they need. And that's where AEW sometimes falls short. Now, don't get me wrong. When they do have a big match, 9 times out of 10, it's a pretty good, you know, with their big guys, it's usually a 4 or 5 star match. I mean, let's be honest.
Right.
But do they, you know, the one thing we used to criticize WWE about was, do they have the storylines? And the storyline over the last year with the WWE was done so well. I mean, it had to end where it did, but it was done so well. We hadn't seen that in such a long time, where you have a build up for a whole year on a storyline. And I think that's what AEW is missing. And now WWE's got to create something new now, you know, to keep that ball rolling. And it's not easy. Everybody thinks it's easy because you don't know what kind of injuries are going to happen, what's going to happen. You know, there's all kinds of other factors, how the crowd's going to take it, especially today. It's very hard. The wrestling, I feel like the wrestling crowd of today is very hard to please.
Isn't that the truth? I think it's been that way for about 50 years.
Because the thing is that it's like, you know, everybody's on to the next thing, or, you know, the psychology is obviously not there at the same. So, you know, a guy that's supposed to be cheered is booed, and vice versa. And sometimes that doesn't always make for for a great match sometimes.
Sure.
The thing I criticize a lot about today, you know, today's wrestling, and not all matches, obviously, is that I feel like the wrestlers just got to get their shit in, and they don't listen to the crowd, what the crowd's telling them. What, you know, everything's so scripted now, that it's, you know, we just got to get what we got to get done, and that's it. And they're not really, not always paying attention to what the fans want. And so I feel like that's where AEW in somewhat has gone wrong in recent times in terms of the product they're putting on the air. They're relying on just 5-star matches only, and I'm sorry, You could say it, and people could argue with me all you want. I know everybody loves a little Japanese wrestling and all that, and that's great. It's great to see a great match. Great. It all comes down to the storylines and what the story you're telling. You don't have to be the greatest wrestlers in the world to put on a great match.
True. Sure. Of course not.
And
it's funny you say that, too, because it's funny you say that, because today I was watching an episode of NWA from at the back end of 88, a couple weeks before Starrcade 88, you know, the Saturday night show. And Bill Apter was giving out the PW, you know, there's the segment where Bill Apter was giving out the PWI awards for 1988. And they were specifically, obviously, were mentioning Sting because he won Most Improved Wrestler. But I was looking at all the awards that year, and the match of the year was Hogan and Andre from that main event that Andre won the title with, you know, Dave and Earl Hebner and everything. And I mean, trust me, those two matches are not, those two guys are not Will Ospreay and Brian Danielson, obviously, but there was a story to tell.
The story to it. That's it. Listen, you should at least go out and put out a decent match. Like, I mean, look at, you know, Hogan and Warrior, that build up. No, it wasn't the greatest match in the world, but the energy that those two brought to the match, because their charisma and everything, that's made the whole thing very interesting. No, it wasn't the greatest match in the world, but look at, you know, look at what everybody tuned into WrestleMania 3 for. Now everybody talks about the Savage and Steamboat match, which was a phenomenal match. And it was a good story to it, too, don't get me wrong. But what was everybody there to watch? Everybody's watched Andre and Hogan. You knew you weren't getting no, you know, five-star classic there.
Right.
I think that's where, you know, you have to have some, you have to have five-star matches every so often, because you want to see a good match, but you got to have the psychology. And that's just the thing that, and I think that's why, you know, everybody moves on very quickly because you know, look at the Cody story with Roman Reigns was done so well. It needed to end, like we said. I mean, if it didn't end here, I think then you would have had some problems. But I think people really, really bought into it, and they really, really played on your emotions, and it was just very well done. I mean, it was one of the most well done storylines in a long, long time.
Mm. I also think, and that's why I think in terms of stories, I'll be curious to see how the next few months in TNA will go, because, you know, Moose has literally wrestled four different, there's been four shows this year, and Moose has wrestled four different, well, three different guys. He beat Alex Shelley for the title at Hard to Kill, and then defended it in February the heck was February show called? No, I just totally brain farted.
I can never remember all this.
Sacrifice this marches. What the heck was it? Oh, No Surrender.
No Surrender.
So he beat Alex Shelley for the title at Hard to Kill. Successfully defended it against Alex Shelley at No Surrender. Then he beat Eric Young at Sacrifice, and now he's beat Nick Nemeth at Rebellion. Now, I don't know what's going to happen at Under Siege, which is the next TNA show, which is a TNA Plus show, right around the corner. It's actually a week from Friday, next Friday night, May 3rd, from the Washington Avenue Armory in Albany, New York, is the next. So we'll see what happens there. Then the show after that is Against All Odds. That'll be on June 14th at Cicero Stadium in Cicero, Illinois.
I feel like Moose needs a good storyline to really build up a great title match that really gets everybody interested. I just feel like just throwing opponents at him is not, you know, when you have your champion, you want that to be the key match. You want that to be that should be the number one storyline.
I feel like beating these guys consistently is building him up specifically, but at some point we need to start telling a story about the system. Maybe add one more person, I know Alicia Edwards is in it because she's Eddie's wife, but maybe another female wrestler, maybe add another guy to the mix, maybe a younger guy to the mix, you know, and really build that faction. And because I feel like Moose, Eddie Edwards and Brian Myers, I feel like do all the talking, and Moose just kind of walks around with the belt. I feel like he needs to assert himself.
He's a very... See, I don't think of him as a world champion. They don't present him as a world champion. To me, if that's going to be your guy, he's got to be, it's got to be, everything's got to be front and center around him.
Yeah.
And he's got to have that swagger, and he's got to be the guy that, you know, oh my gosh, that is their champion. And that's the guy we want to beat. And I don't feel like that's the case with him. I just don't think of him as a world champ. So.
So I think he is beating credible challengers, but I will be curious, you know, as we move ahead.
But does anybody care? That's the thing.
Well, I mean, the X Division title always seemed to be the belt that everybody loved in TNA, and it still is the case. And Mustafa Ali is a guy that has really been a credible champion. Maybe eventually Moose. They got to build a good baby face for him to lose to, too. Is Matt Hardy that guy? No, he's not. But we'll see what happens. Slammiversary is the next big show.
Matt Hardy's that, like that rush. Give me that rush of, oh, something.
Right.
And, yeah, you're kind of like.
I have a feeling Moose will not be on the Under Siege pay-per-view or Under Siege show next Friday. I have a feeling he's going to take that one off because it's just no time for a build.
I just think they got to do a better job in his presentation.
Yeah, I agree. So I think he needs a breather. So I don't think we'll see him next Friday at Under Siege. And then on June 14th, at Against All Odds, maybe they'll rebuild something and build towards a big mega match at Slammiversary. And then two more TNA Plus shows. And then I think we get to October with Bound for Glory. And I think we'll get a mega match there with somebody. Maybe a Josh Alexander, or maybe that's where Nick Nemeth finally wins it. We'll see what happens. Anyway. Overall, Rebellion was not a bad show. A couple of solid matches. A lot of heels won. So I think would I buy it? I mean, I bought it, obviously. Would I buy the replay? Nah, I would probably wait. If you didn't buy it, I would just wait until... because it will go on TNA Plus probably at some point in the next month, I think, or month and a half. And then just, you know, obviously the next, if you have TNA Plus, the next two shows are included: Under Siege on May 3rd and Against All Odds on June 14th. And then the next pay-per-view, which will be Slammiversary. That one I'll watch because it's in Montreal. It's the 20th anniversary of the show. So should be very interesting. Anyway, that'll do it for this reaction special of TNA Rebellion. We hope you enjoyed it. Of course, follow us on YouTube. Go to our Place to Be Wrestling Network YouTube channel. You'll see all the pods drop there. We do occasional video. Mostly we do it for the Place to Be podcast. Follow, of course, the other feeds on the quad, the PTV Pop Experience and the NOSO. Dr. G and I will be back this coming Sunday morning with our regular episode of the PTB Weekend Special. We'll talk about tonight, if you're listening to this on Tuesday's episode of NWA Power, and which I'll be very curious to watch this week, Doctor, this coming Thursday's episode of TNA Impact, as there's only technically two episodes of Impact before we get to Under Siege next Friday. So I'll be curious what TNA is going to do these next 2 weeks to kind of build, build that whatever the hell they're doing next Friday, because they really don't have a ton of time. So be curious to see what happens. Anyway, have a great week, everybody. We got some great stuff here on the feed. The Place to Be podcast dropped yesterday. New episode, new Making Towns of our Making Towns series. We did Long Island with Greg Diener. We got some great stuff coming up next week. New episode of Through the Looking Glass. We'll also have a new episode of Main Event next week, where we'll preview Under Siege. And next Saturday, the 4th, is Backlash France. It's a shame Dino Bravo's dead. You know, Frenchie Martin, I think, is dead too, although then Justin won't watch. Anyway, have a wonderful week, to talk to you on Sunday morning with the new next episode of the PTB Weekend Special. I'm Scott. He's the doctor. You're not.
Ciao.
It's getting near dawn. When lights close the tired eyes, I'll soon be with you, my love. Give you my dawn surprise.
Sunshine of your love.